morning, beautiful women. And super strong men. Mighty men of valor. Women of virtue. I'm so excited to be here today. And I've got to tell you, I'm sitting here listening to song after song going, it's like Pastor Brian and I coordinated everything, and we didn't. All the songs are just like right on for the word that God put on my heart to share with you today. I sat with the Lord. I was like, really, this story? This is what you want us to talk about? But once I said, okay, Lord, if that's it, I'm in. I'm down. It's just so beautiful, the words that God gave me to share with you today. So I give him all the praise and the glory for that. My name is Carissa. My husband Evan and I used to be on staff here a couple years ago for about 5 years. So many of you, I know, your family to me, and all of you that are new faces, just thank you for receiving me today. And I'm tickled pink, like literally. I know I'm wearing black, but inside I'm tickled pink. So happy Mother's Day to you. Moms birth and beautify all of life. They feed our bellies and nurture our beliefs. They are fearless of monsters, nightmares, or the big dark. They are the quieting lullaby and the unsung heroes. They provide the glue to our homes and our popsicle stick crafts. They are monitors of mayhem and protectors of our potential. They are laden with laundry and envelop us in love. They champion our wins and they stabilize our setbacks. They become the best of friends and the most caring of confidants. So today we just wanted to pause and honor you, Mom, because we love you. Could we honor the moms in this place today? Every woman here. So beautiful. So beautiful. The presence of Jesus is already here. Motherhood is full of joy, but it's also full of exhaustion. Sometimes pain. So I have an encouraging word for you today. Look at Psalm 63, verses 7 and 8. It says, for you have been my help, and I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. My soul holds on to you, and your right hand holds me up. Isn't that a beautiful psalm? I'm praying this motherly aspect of God, his heart that wants to just draw you in like a mother hen under his feathers, under his wings. I'm just praying that if you need it, that encouragement today, if you need that comfort today, that Jesus will just hide you under his wings, just like this psalm says. Let's pray over the word. God, we just are so grateful that you're not just a good father, you're a good mother too, that we're all created in your image. That today, as we honor the moms in this place, that there's a special blessing for them. And just as Pastor Brian was praying and declaring, there's a blessing for all of us, no matter what story we came in here with today. And I just pray that we would feel it, almost as if you're like a big mother hen over us, that we would just feel even the wind of your wings just brushing over us and bringing us close to your heart today. I pray that we would feel that in our spirits. And we ask this in your name, Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Open your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 5. We've got an awesome story, lots of verses that I want to read quickly to you. Mark chapter 5, I'm reading from the Passion Translation, and we're going to start in verse 21. So you can pull out your outlines or your Bibles or your apps. You've got the plan on your phone now, right? Is that true? That's amazing. Technology. Who knew? Okay, so verse 21. After Jesus returned from across the lake, a huge crowd of people quickly gathered around him on the shoreline. Just then, a man saw that it was Jesus. So he pushed through the crowd and threw himself at his feet. His name was Jairus, a Jewish official who was in charge of the synagogue. He pleaded with Jesus, saying over and over, please come with me. My little daughter is at the point of death, and she's only 12 years old. Come and lay your hands on her and heal her, and she will live. Jesus went with him, and a huge crowd followed, pressing in on him from all sides. Now, in the crowd that day was a woman who had suffered horribly from continual bleeding for 12 years. She had endured a great deal under the care of various doctors, yet in spite of spending all she had on their treatments, she was not getting better. She was getting worse. But she heard about Jesus. When she heard about Jesus' healing power, she pushed through the crowd and came up from behind him and touched. My translation says prayer shawl. Your translation probably says hem. She touched the hem of his garment. For she kept saying to herself, if I could only just touch his clothes, I know I will be healed. So in this pressing crowd around Jesus, we find two people in desperate need of Jesus. First, there's Jairus. He's a powerful synagogue leader. He's upholding the law. He sees Jesus and he pleads with him on behalf of his 12-year-old daughter. Please come, heal my daughter. And then we find this woman. She's unnamed. She's weaker in gender and in health. She's been bleeding for 12 years, so the law has called her unclean. She's excluded from worship. Instead of life flowing from her womb, it's being drained from her. And we find this depressing fact that she spent all she had to get better, but instead of getting better, she's grown worse. And she hears about Jesus, and she goes, faith begins to rise up. She goes, if I just touch his hem, if I just touch his hem, I'll be healed. I know I'm unclean. I know there's this crowd, and I'm going to make them all unclean, but if I can just sneak up behind, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. And faith begins to rise up in her. And we're like, where did she get this idea? Well, it's actually in scripture. We miss it because we're not Jewish, or most of us here probably aren't Jewish. But have you ever seen, like, I'm just picturing like Jesus with a flag football belt. I don't know why, but that's like what I picture. But have you seen the Jews with their traditional prayer shawls? They're like blue and white, and they have all the tassels, the prayer shawls. Have you seen those? Hello, is anybody? A few of you? Okay, most of you, good. Yeah, so the prayer shawls, well, this is actually found in scripture. It's found in Numbers 15, verses 38 and 40. I'm gonna read this to you. Jews call it a talit. Talit is what they call the prayer shawl. And this is where they got it from. Give the following instructions to the people of Israel. Throughout the generations to come, you must make tassels for the hems. And this word hems in Hebrew is kanaf. So just kind of remember that, K-A-N-A. P-H, kanaf. So the hems, the kanaf, have to have these tassels on them of your clothing and attach them with a blue cord. The tassels will help you remember that you must obey all my commands and be holy to your God. So they represent the commands of God. So this Hebrew word kanaf, this is amazing. I hope you guys like to learn. Like, go, is this okay? Like, can I teach for a little bit? And just like, because you discover this stuff when you're studying the Bible and you're like, phew. Like, it's just amazing. So I have to share it with you. So kanaf, this word that's used in the Old Testament, it's used for these words: extremity, hem, edge, border, corner, and specifically a wing, because it comes from the root word to cover. So these are the other spots that it's used in scripture. Think about this. The cherubim that cover the mercy seat with their wings, that word is kanaf. The corners, the kanaf of the fields that were to be left for the poor to glean. Ruth asking Boaz to spread his garment, his kanaf, over her as the kinsman redeemer. And in the Psalms, we see it where we're to hide under the shadow of his wings, his kanaf. Isn't that amazing? So this woman goes, if I just touch his kanaf, if I just touch the edge of his garment, perhaps it was the tassels. We see it prophesied in Malachi 4:2. Look at this. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with what? Healing in his kanaf. It's fulfilled in Mark 6:56. She wasn't the only one who reached out and touched the hem of Jesus' garment. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. Wow, healing in his wings, prophesied in Malachi, fulfilled in Jesus. My niece is about 4 years old. Well, at the time she was four at the time. She says to me one day, I want the real Jesus. And, you know, you never know what a child's thinking. So I'm like, I think she's prayed the prayer before, but this could be like one of those open door moments. Like, kind of feel bad, like I should call her mother out here. Like, this is a big moment here. We're about to receive Jesus. But I was like, Bria, haven't you asked Jesus to live in your heart? He lives in your heart, doesn't he? She goes, yes, but I tried to pinch him out. I want the real Jesus. Pinch him out. As kids, right? But here's the point of all this. Jesus comes down from heaven, the living word, fulfilling all the commands of God. And for the first time, God becomes touchable. Not just a priest one time a year. God, the living word, he becomes touchable. This is so powerful for you and me. Jesus is the Talit in the flesh. Through Jesus, we gain access to the mercy seat. Come on, I'm gonna need some help. We are provided for. Through Jesus, we're covered by our Redeemer. We're healed with just one touch of his tassel. And we find shelter under his wings. Oh, Jesus. Do you feel him? Because he is here. He's here. It's like he's hovering over us. Have you ever seen a mother hen with all the baby chicks, right? I'll just close your eyes for a moment. You are everything, Jesus. You are everything. You are everything. Thank you, Jesus. To live under his wings, you can fill this in your outline. It says, when I feel helpless, and fill this in, I press in to the word. To live under his wings means when I feel helpless, I press into the word. Romans 10:17 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. This woman heard about Jesus. And in the midst of this pressing crowd, she's the one. She's the one going, oh, if I just touch him, I'll be healed. So I'm wondering today, what have you heard about Jesus? What do you know of him? What promise are you clinging to from the word today? Because if you press in and you lay hold of what he has for you, I promise he's going to show up. This woman's on the fringe of society. She touches the fringe of Jesus' clothes. And instead of her infecting him and making him unclean, something else miraculously transfers. Let's look at it. Verse 29. As soon as her hand touched him, her bleeding immediately stopped. She knew it, for she could feel her body instantly being healed of her disease. Jesus knew at once that someone had touched him, for he felt the power that always surged around him had passed through him for someone to be healed. He turned and spoke to the crowd saying, who touched my clothes? The disciples are like, what do you mean? Who touched you? Look at this huge crowd. They're all pressing up against you. Do you imagine how crazy Jesus would sound right then? Like, who touched me? They're like, everyone is trying to get close to you, Jesus. What do you mean? But Jesus' eyes swept across the crowd, looking for the one, looking for the one, looking for the one who touched him for healing. When the woman who experienced this miracle realized what had happened to her, she came before him, trembling with fear, and threw herself down at his feet, saying, I was the one who touched you. And she told him her story of what just happened. Then Jesus said to her, daughter, and circle that word, daughter, because you dared to believe, your faith has healed you. Go with peace in your heart and be free from your suffering. So in this crushing crowd, where all these people are touching Jesus, it's her expression of faith that he feels. Power of the word is there, but it's when we, in faith, reach to it, cling to it, believe it, hope in it. All of a sudden, Jesus sees our faith. And it's that expression that he feels after 12 long years. As long as that little girl had been alive, this woman had been suffering. And immediately there's a glorious exchange. This powerless woman experiences the miraculous power of Jesus. No longer subject to suffering, she's liberated into wholeness and peace. Not drained from sickness with life flowing from her. Instead, she's flowing with the dunamis power of God. Wow. Immediately. Suddenly. Mark loves that word. In his gospel, he uses it often. And I love that. It's that swift turnaround. Immediately. Could you imagine after 12 years how hopeless you would feel? Every remedy that you put your hope in, every doctor that you saw that you put your hope in, maybe some of you are like, I know all too well, Carissa. My hope has been deferred for a long time. But I want to encourage you today that immediately everything can change. Jesus calls her out of hiding, but it's not to humiliate or judge her. A lot of commentaries that I read, and I don't mean to put them down. I honor them, I respect them because I learned so much from them, the obligatory them. But a lot of scholars were like, she was trying to steal a blessing from Jesus, so he called her out. What? No, that's not Jesus' MO. He doesn't call us out to shame us. You stole something from me, come and give an account of your life here, right? He doesn't do that. Why is he calling her out? It's not to judge her or shame her or humiliate her. After she spills her guts, trembling with fear, now everybody knows what I just did. I just made every single person unclean that I walked past, right? Could you imagine the terror of that moment for this woman? And what does Jesus do? One of the most tender exchanges in the New Testament. This grown woman is the only woman Jesus ever calls daughter. It's this term of endearment. You're loved, you're held, you're treasured. It's like Jesus was saying, Jairus has a daughter that he's pushing through this crowd, he's fighting for, but you are my daughter, and I'm fighting for you. You are worth putting a halt on all the plans. You're worth pausing for, turning my attention to. Who touched me? Oh, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Be free from your suffering. Oh, Jesus, is that good? You may feel like an unnamed nobody, but if he calls you daughter, you're the most priceless thing to him in the world. Son, you may not have had a dad that called you, I'm proud of you, son, but Jesus today is calling your name, I'm proud of you, son. You have what it takes. This beautiful exchange. To live under his wings means when I feel inadequate, I rest in relationship. This happens to me a lot. I don't know about anybody else in here, but I can be a little hyper sometimes. I can be a little like out loud processor sometimes. I can be a little bossy sometimes. I can be in a crowd of people that I'm just now meeting and slowly see them one at a time just kind of like turn away from me. And I just like, I'm still talking and no one is okay. Like super awkward. I was doing chairs at our church, just volunteering, helping out, and I walk up and I'd been sweating, and so I'm just like, oh, I'm sweaty, you know. And for someone that's like trying to do natural stuff, so no antiperspirant, you know, things like that, it's like I'm already self-conscious about glistening. And so I'm coming, I'm like, oh, I'm so sweaty. Well, I just got to meet these people. And later through another friend, which why would you tell somebody this? I don't know, but this other friend was like, oh yeah, she thought it was so weird that you were talking about sweating. I'm like, ah. And there's this message that's like, I'm too much. I'm too much. I'm too much. I'm just going to go back away into a corner. Like, the people that know me and love me, it becomes endearing. Like, oh, well, that's Carissa. You know, that's the way she is. Like, Lisa, every time I tell Lisa, I'm sorry, you probably don't want to hug me. I'm kind of sweaty. She always just giggles at me, you know. She's like, oh, Carissa, we know you don't wear antiperspirant. We got it. We heard it 50 million times before, you know. And so there's, like, people in your world that they get it, that you're bossy, or they get it, that you're too much, you're too that, you're too, you know, and they love you anyway, and you love those people. But as soon as you start to be vulnerable with someone and you get that message, you're too much, that's painful. My sister is a super mom, in my opinion. Both of them are. But my sister, she's 5 years younger than me. I'm like a second mama to her. She texted me this morning this beautiful text. So sweet. But I'm just like picturing all this stuff in her world that she does. She's a full-time employee with a really stressful position in her work. She and her husband both, they cook dinner every single night, and they read to their kids and bathe them every single night, even though they've just worked a big old long day. For a while, my brother-in-law even had like this almost 3 hours of a commute per day. I just don't know how they do it. It's mind-boggling to me. Like, in my mind, they're like super parents, you know? And my sister will even do like cloth diapers. That's like whole other level of commitment, you know? I mean, even into like 2 years old, you guys, this isn't just a early baby phase. Like, I don't get it. I'm like, you guys are superhuman. I don't know how you do it. And do you know that she will tell me that she feels like she's not doing enough? I wonder if I'm a good enough mom. The guilt that moms feel, I don't get it. You could be doing everything right, and still I hear from moms all the time, I hope my kids don't have to go to counseling when they're older. Just pray I'm not screwing them up, yeah? It is a lie from the pit of hell that you are too much or you are not enough. That is not God's design for you. It's not his words over you. We sang about it in that beautiful song. You're not too much, and you're not enough. Just let that sink in for a minute. There's nothing to feel guilty about, nothing to feel inadequate about. And here's this bizarre reality that I'm realizing is, like, throughout my life, the more that I achieve, actually, that doesn't bring me the acceptance that I want. Because if you're worse off than someone, then they snub their nose at you. But if you're better than someone, then they're jealous of you. You don't actually get that vulnerable acceptance and relationship that all of us crave. So achieving is not the answer, right? Achieving is not the answer. I love this passage. This is like, this is the crux of everything for you mamas today. You just receive this, you men too. Romans 8, 14 through 23. Oh, let these words soak in. The mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. And you did not receive the spirit of religious duty, leading you back into the fear of never being good enough. But you have received the spirit of full acceptance, enfolding you into the family of God, and you will never be orphaned. For as his spirit rises up within us, our spirits join him in saying the words of tender affection, beloved Father. For the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us as he whispers into our innermost being, you are God's beloved. Isn't that so good today for all of us that just feel inadequate? Feel like we're never going to measure up. God's beloved child, that relationship is really all that matters. Receive his acceptance today. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I'm going to give you an opportunity at the end. We're going to pray together. It's the best relationship you'll ever have in your whole life. Okay, we're at verse 35. And before he had finished speaking, people from Jairus' house arrived, and they pushed through the crowd to give Jairus the news. There's no need to trouble the master any longer. Your daughter has died. But Jesus refused to listen what they were told and said to the Jewish official, "Don't yield to fear. All you need to do is keep on believing. Don't stop believing." And then Jesus burst into song that no one would ever know until 2,000 years later. So they left for his home, but Jesus didn't allow anyone to go with them except Peter and the two brothers, Jacob, also James is his name, and John. When they arrived at the home of the synagogue ruler, they entered a noisy uproar. Oof, don't you hate that word, uproar? Ugh. For those of you that deal with a lot of chaos and anxiety, it's the uproar that's happening in your mind, right? This noisy uproar among the people, for they were all weeping and wailing. Upon entering the home, Jesus said to them, "Why all this grief and weeping? Don't you know the girl's not dead, but merely asleep?" Then everyone began to ridicule and make fun of him, but he threw them all outside. Isn't Jesus amazing? He's like, "Daughter, daughter, everything is well. You're well, go in peace." And then you see this tender side of Jesus, and he's like, "Everybody out." I love it. So good. This word "threw," it's a Greek word, ekbalo. And I just want you to see how Jesus handles spiritual warfare. Here's just a few little nuggets for you because we don't have time. He refused to listen. Wow. Have you ever had faith and your family's like, you're not living in reality, you're living in denial right now? And you're like, "No, this is called faith." And they're like, "Yeah, but this is what the doctor's saying." And you're like, "Yeah, but that's not the report I'm choosing to believe." Have you ever, like, okay, he didn't, he refused to listen. Thank you for egging me on back there. He didn't allow anyone else to participate except people of faith. Wow. He was selective. He chose who he was going to listen to. He chose who he was going to allow to participate. And here's the third one. He threw all the doubters and the haters out. "I refuse to let you be a part of this. You're going to miss out." This Greek word, ekbalo, it's used for driving out demons. It says people, but really what Jesus was doing is he's cleaning out the house. He's cleaning out the house. Jesus is showing us our enemy must be handled decisively, forcefully, and with authority. Jesus tells Jairus, "Don't yield to fear." Why? Because we get to choose what voice we're going to listen to. We get to choose who we're going to allow into our conversations, who we're going to allow into our home, who we're going to allow into our mind. We get to choose what thoughts get to dwell there. You get to choose. I can yield to fear. I can yield to negativity. I can yield to the lie of the enemy. I can allow grief and ridicule and fear and hopelessness and doubt and all those things. I can allow those to be the loudest voice, or to live under his wings. When I feel the most afraid, I can trust his goodness. Trust his goodness. You are a good father. We jokingly call overprotective moms what? Helicopter parenting. I think that's probably why the mom didn't leave, just the dad, right? There's no way. Moms live with this constant fear of something happening to their kids. I hear it all the time. Some moms take it to that extreme where I can't let my kids out of my sight. Something might happen. And yes, bad things do happen. I mean, every parent in here would say this would be the worst thing. If I were this mom, if I were this dad, and my 12-year-old daughter, I just got the news she's dead, could you imagine? It would be the worst thing. Everyone that deals with loss goes, "Why, God, why?" That's totally normal. I don't know why, but I do know this. That every single person in here, you are God's child. You are God's kid. Your kids have been entrusted to you, but they're not yours, they're God's. They're God's kids. If he's not big enough to look out for them when you are not there, then he's not a very big God. He's not very trustworthy. You are good. You're the best parent there is. Help us to remember that. I have a nephew. He's 3 years old, and I get to sleep with him when I'm there visiting, and he has two twin beds, and one just kind of pulls out, so we're kind of like this, you know, and inevitably, he ends up in my bed. And I've gotten like pro level now. I'm like pro anti level. I can like keep my eyes closed. I hear him stir and I know when he's coming in. I literally just flip over the covers. He crawls in. I flip it back and I'm like right back to sleep. Whoa, I'm really getting good at this. I can't imagine you parents that have been doing this for a long time. They're like, yeah, my 12-year-old has this nightmare. And next thing I know, I'm like, that was me. I was the one that would go to my mom. You know. And then when I had a little sister, she would come into my bed. I'm just like, but there's this terrible thing whenever a little kid has a nightmare and you hear it coming, you hear the moan, you start to hear him wrestling, you know, and everything in me wants to go, Blake, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. It's just a dream, it's just a dream. And inevitably he ends up crying, right? And you're holding them and you're rocking them. You're safe, you're safe, you're safe. You're safe, it was just a dream, it was just a dream. You're gonna be okay, you're gonna be okay. I'm right here, I'm right here. I want you to read this verse with that in mind of what God wants to do for you and I. Psalm 131 verses 2-3, it says, I'm humbled and quieted in your presence like a contented child who rests on its mother's lap. I'm your resting child and my soul is content in you. Oh, people of God, your time has come to quietly trust, waiting upon the Lord now and forever. So when pain causes you to question, when you're fearful to let go a little bit more as your child's growing and developing, when you're facing that crisis or that loss, and you go, oh, I don't know where you are. God, can I encourage you today to crawl up in his lap? Let him hold you under his wings. That's what he wants to do today, to content us and I'm here. It's okay. It's okay. Let's finish our story. Verse 40. Then he took the child's father and mother and his three disciples and went into the room where the girl was lying. He tenderly clasped the child's hand. Wake up from sleep. Oh, I'm sorry. He clutched her hand in his and said to her in Aramaic, Talitha kum. Talitha. Does that sound like something? Talit. The prayer shop. Isn't that cool? Talitha kum, which means little girl, wake up from the sleep of death. Instantly, another instantly, suddenly, right? Instantly, the 12-year-old girl sat up, stood to her feet, and started walking around the room. Everyone was overcome with astonishment in seeing this miracle. Jesus had them bring her something to eat. Wow, this mom who felt so despairing. Could you imagine how numb she would have felt in that moment? Holding this lifeless body. The agony of those minutes that lasted like eternity. How numb she must have felt. Some of you can relate to that at a profound level. I'm thinking today there are so many reasons, like Pastor Brian mentioned, so many reasons for us to be in here today feeling kind of numb. Many of you know my story of wanting to be a mom, and it's so despairing when year after year after year, you're like, God, why? Where are you? Why? And you begin to feel numb. I want to encourage you with something today, that to live under his wings means when I feel numb, I awaken to my purpose. I awaken to my purpose. Gavin, you're totally welcome to come and play. What's so beautiful is the stories that we hear of people. I can think of right now Joyce Meyer, who's like a mama to a bunch of people. Whether you love her teaching, love her preaching style, it's not the point. The point is, none of us would doubt that she's a mother, a spiritual mother. And she was abused over and over and over again as a kid. But all that pain, God has redeemed. She's been awakened to a purpose beyond the pain. I remember flipping my question. I kept going, why haven't you given me a baby? Why haven't you given me a baby? Why? And I flipped my question, and finally I said, God, why have you given me a mama's heart? And do you know that little thoughts, little pieces of the puzzle of purpose began to emerge? Whoa, wow. You aren't called to be numb here today. just kind of float through life, to mask pain. You don't ever get to experience the highs, the joys. Today, I'm praying that the Spirit of God would quicken you into your calling, that your emotions, as you give way to a little bit more grief, that a little more of the healing of Jesus would just come and minister to your heart. Death declares this is the end of the story. That's the message it wants us to receive until Jesus walks in the room. When Jesus walks in the room, everything changes. When you walk in the room, when you walk in the room, when you walk in the room, there's nothing like it, there's nothing like it. When you walk in the room, when you walk in the room, when you walk in the room, there's nothing like it. He's walking by, and in this whole crowd of people today, he's touchable. Would you close your eyes? I want to pray with you. We feel your presence here. We know you're close, and we know, just like a mother hen, you want to draw us even closer to your heart. Without anyone looking around, if today you just say, I came in with fill in the blank, fear, helplessness, hopelessness, numbness, despair, grief, discouragement, anxiety. And I want to touch him. Would you, if that's you, would you just reach out your hand and touch Jesus today? Just reach out. Just reach out for him. Healing wings of Jesus, the wings prophesied in Malachi. Son of righteousness, rise with healing in your wings. The ones that are dripping with aloe, with healing balm. Jesus, you do what only you can do. Do it only you can. Declare over you a suddenly moment, an immediate reversal of the enemy's plans for your life, that the purpose of God would rise up. Purpose of God, rise up. Purpose of God, rise up. Purpose of God, rise up. Break through the numbness, break through the chaos, break through the noise. Purpose of God, rise up. We're sorry for questioning your goodness. You are a good father. We trust you today. We trust you. Tell him, I trust you. I trust you. Every mom that feels like she's not good enough. Every man that feels like he doesn't have what it takes. My daughter, my son, I love you. You're my beloved child. You're my beloved. Don't know Jesus. He's here. He's been knocking on your heart. If that's you, raise your hand just because I want to pray with you. Is there anybody here? Say, that's me. I see you. Anybody else? Chaplains, would you come up here for a second? I don't want to embarrass you, but everybody can just stay with your hands or with your eyes closed. But there's two. Would you mind going with them, one of each of you, and just praying with them? there anybody else that would just like someone to come and pray with you? Jesus, you see these hands. They're becoming enfolded into the family of God today. Just tell them, say, Jesus, I want you. I need you. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me clean. I'm running into your arms today. Give me a brand new life, brand new walk with you. I rise up in newness of life and wholeness with peace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.